This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, what's going on? This is Tug McGraw, talking sports with Randy Harris. Hope you're listening in. Have some fun.
All right, we're back. Eight man strong, Snap Zone, and Locked Up Energy Drink. Before we get back to whatever shenanigans you were trying to round my blood on, one of my biggest regrets was that liner right there. Had the opportunity at a auction at whatever the old, I think it was Jack Russell Stadium. It was one of the old Philly stadiums in Clearwater. Could have purchased a game-used Tug McGraw jersey for like $350.
And he was who?
Tim's dad.
Tim McGraw's dad?
Exactly.
Wow. That's big. I didn't know that was a pro baseball player.
Oh my God. This would be a really good time, Matt, for you just not to say anything.
Why? What did he play? What sport did he play?
You're an idiot. Tug McGraw played for the New York Mets, the Philadelphia Phillies, reliever, World Series champ. He used to, when he would walk off the mound, if you go and find any YouTube, he would always like slap his glove on his knee, you know, as he would walk off. And that was like a signal, you know, to his family. Loved Tug McGraw. Big Tug McGraw.
All right. I've never heard of him. Never heard of him until now, so that's great.
And honestly, he'd never heard of you either. So, you know, you're even. So that one. I can prove that.
You can't.
Of course I can prove it. He's dead.
Well, it doesn't mean he doesn't know who I was before he died.
The other jersey I coulda, shoulda, woulda was the late, great, good friend of mine, legend Ray Nitschke. And I didn't buy that one for, you know, under probably about $400, which, you know, $400, $350 still is a lot of money, but was even more of a lot of money back then.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So you got my blood going a little bit, so we can get back to either one about going to the gym.
Before you do that, I was in a conversation here yesterday about the great Pele. And I was speaking to one of his, you know, distant cousins who was offered all kinds of like autographed Pele shirts and memorabilia. And she was just like, hey, it's my uncle or whatever, his cousin or whatever the relationship was blood wise. So to her, it didn't have any value. So she declined all of the free, you know, jerseys and autographs and trophies and things, because she just saw him as like a person, not as the legendary footballer from around the world.
Yeah, good for her. She's poorer for it, but good for her.
For sure. No question. No doubt.
So back to the running the gauntlet in gyms. I had the misfortune of being in a few of them. I felt dirty. I felt awful. And if I remember, I didn't even do it. Because a white belt slapping the back of a black belt as he runs the gauntlet to me is ridiculous. Now, I know we've talked about this in the past. In the military, you do the same thing. You know, you I forget what the wording was, but basically you punch the guy and you're his crow on. So when he makes rate from, you know, an E3 to E4, E4 to E5, E5 to E6, et cetera, you know, the patch on the sleeve changes. So from, you know, one stripe to three stripes to then the whatever the whole hash mark thing was, I don't remember. But there, it's equal and above. Having an E1 punch on an E5 would probably get the guy killed. So it's the same thing.
Yeah.
A white belt or blue belt slapping the black belt.
I agree. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Like there's no, I mean, other than the fact that it's a camaraderie, building a team and a family environment where everybody's included, everyone is equal and partaking in the achievement. To avoid any kind of separation or segregation between different ranks. But yeah, but I agree. Like, you know, white belt has no merit to slap a black belt that achieved, you know, next level.
Next tournament in whatever gym you want to go to in Brazil, you demand that every participant gets a trophy. So the 42nd place jiu-jitsu person needs to get a participation trophy. That's basically what you're saying that they're doing in allowing a lower belt, you know, to do that tradition. To me, it's ridiculous. You know, it's the same camaraderie. It's the same team. It's the same bonding and friendship and whatever. It's just a thing called respect, which we don't have in this country, in this world anymore. And it all stems from things like this. Just common sense.
It's a dying art.
No, it is. It is absolutely ridiculous. And I'm trying to teach, you know, my grandkids, all three of them, you know, they've never dealt with anybody like me. You know, they're dealt with different, you know, the father, the parent, the grandparents, you know, all this treat. You know, I'm not. You know, they started to cry. I told them. Matter of fact, I don't know if you saw it, and I think I'm going to buy it, which is shocking for two reasons. One, I'm going to buy it, and two, it's $35. It's a like a dog tag. Now, my daughter has my dog tags from the military, but this is a dog tag that says something, and I could try to find it if we want for the next break. But basically, it says, you know, you're cherished, you're my daughter, blah, 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 blah. But if you fall down, you know, get yourself up. Remember whose daughter you are. Fix your crown and move on. You know, basically, I'm not going to feel bad. I'm not going to feel sorry for you, my grandkids, my wife, my daughter, my parents. You know, that's not how I was brought up. You know, you deal with life and you move on. You don't give me, I literally, and I think I told you this, we were in a tournament and we took second place and I threw the trophy away. I'm not taking a second place trophy home. Like the Ricky Bob. Yeah. Second place is the first loser.
Yeah, celebrating mediocrity is where America is heading, and or if it's not already there. Our whole society is full of mediocre people who expect to be treated like champions. And that's why you have competition, to separate the cream from the crop. So, I hate that. I hate it. I hate that mentality of everybody's equal. Like, no, you're not. Like, a lot of people put in years and sacrifice and discipline and money and resources and commitment to excellence to achieve. And, you know, for example, it takes 10 to 12 years to achieve a black belt in Brazil. I mean, that's if you have a teacher that's willing to promote you, you stay injury free, you don't take time off for like career advancements or relocation or military service. I mean, 12 years is on the low end to achieve a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, as opposed to other, you know, disciplines where in 3 to 5 years you can become a black belt in Taekwondo or Karate or Judo. So I think, you know, the people who earned the right to be treated different and celebrated for achievement, they absolutely deserve that right. And no, you shouldn't get a participation trophy that's equal to that same accomplishment.
Can't agree with you anymore. You know,
finally, we got something there, buddy. After 15 years, like a best friendship, we finally agree on something.
Well, you agree with me because that's what I've said since the day you met me. You know, and yeah. It bothers me. All right, here's something else that it does bother me. You know, I spoke to Tony Saunders about it. Tony Saunders was in town not too long ago to be there for his friend Wade Boggs, who went in the Devil Rays, and he was a Devil Ray / Rays Hall of Fame. Now, you being you, the instigator that you are, I'm sure you're going to agree with the fact that Wade Boggs should be in the Rays Hall of Fame. Compatible to Tom Brady.
He should be in the Red Sox Hall of Fame.
Well, of course he should. But he should not be in the Rays. He shouldn't be in the Rays Hall of Fame. He played 2 years. He hit the milestone 3,000th hit for a home run, which milestone. He had two or three milestone events with the Rays. He played 2 years. He is not a Rays Hall of Famer, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now be careful. And I got to clean it up because I want to call you so many things. Because you claim,
Tom Brady is the GOAT.
Well, he is the GOAT. But if Wade Boggs, and we agree Wade Boggs should not be in the Rays Hall of Fame, then Tom Brady shouldn't be in the Ring of Honor.
But I'll back it up that Wade Boggs would be in the Rays Hall of Fame if he would have brought a championship to the city of St. Pete, otherwise known as Tampa, for the Major League Baseball purposes. But no, he did nothing here. He did nothing except in his career here and, you know, lives here and retires here. But no, he didn't do anything to be a Hall of Fame decorated. His career was made in Boston. But Tom, you know, the GOAT, the greatest Buccaneer of all time, brought a championship to the city of Tampa. And if you're comparing championship to championship, Warren Sapp has one. And Brady has one as a Buccaneer. So if you're going to say that Warren's the greatest Buccaneer of all time, they're equal in hardware and championship accomplishment.
Okay, first, before I tell you number two, number one, you believe everything you just said, right?
I mean, I believe it as far as, like, arguing with you. Well, yeah, sure, go ahead.
Well, no,
let's say I believe it all.
No, we can't do that. No. A, I know you don't believe that, but September 2nd in Cape Coral, South Florida, Tito Ortiz will be having his grand opening of his new restaurant.
And sweet.
The plan is to drive down and attend that along with my friend Tito Ortiz and my friend, the greatest Buccaneer of all time, Warren Sapp. It will be a star-studded event, and we will be involved in that.
Well, let's just say, like, on record, I only choose the other side because it's you, but Warren was an absolute savage on the field. I mean, of course, he was the personality and the voice in the locker room, and that culture of having that hard-nosed grind guy in the locker room that's, you know, in your face, if you don't do your job, if you're not accountable, you know, those days and those locker rooms are a dying era, you know, with political correctness and everybody's got a cell phone and everybody's got feelings and they make too much money and they don't have to listen to anybody, including the head coach or the GMs. You know, it's a different sport. It's a different era. But absolutely, that culture that Warren cultivated inside that locker room led to a championship. No question.
I remember.
And I only mess with you.
I know that. Believe me, I know.
Warren's a great dude. He's an awesome guy. And it's funny because of, like, you know, going to the bare knuckle fights, and it's the one photograph I don't have with, like, a celebrity is, like, with Warren. Like, it's crazy.
It's so perfect. Warren went to the BKFC in Lakeland.
Yeah.
And, you know, I called Dave Feldman. I made sure everything was taken care of for him. So Warren texts me after the show. He goes, "Hey, do me a favor. They took a picture of me with the belt. I want it." And so he wanted the picture of him holding the BKFC belt. Let's hit this break. When we come back, let's talk about what happened last week from the Travis Thompson fight to the co-main with Jared Warren, the main event, Richmond. And Dave Mundell, some things to talk about, all three of those, along with some of the other fights as well. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy. Okay.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Gail Prairie. I play with 8 teams, counting San Francisco Giants and the rest of them. And you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck Diamond dealer, as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up Energy Drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Hey, this is Deontay the Bronze Bomber Wilder, WBC heavyweight champion of the world. And you're listening to Knockout Radio. Bam, baby. Good night.
I reached down to the front seat and said, now here's something special. It's just been waiting.
All right, we are back up with you live. At least I am live from Tournament to Pizza. I wonder what pizza I'm going to take home. What do you suggest I have for dinner?
Pizza? I don't know.
All right. That works for me. BKFC last, what was it, Friday? Yeah, it was Friday.
Yeah.
Where do you want me to start? Which fight or how badly can I rip the fans?
Well, let's start with the one that I have vested interest in, both sides of the red and blue corner. Let's start with the Travis Animal Thompson versus Ryan Royal Reber. Went five rounds. They declared it a majority draw, I believe. And right. Then they had a sixth bonus round. So, you know, going into it, I mean, you always talk about your internal conflict when Matt Hughes fought Frank Trigg and you were like, oh, my God, Matt, and oh, my God, Frank. And you had a friendship with both sides. I, as you know, going into this fight, I trained both fighters. I was in both camps. And from my perspective, you know, there couldn't have been a better outcome for me personally that both guys went not only fight of the night, but they went all the distance. It was equal. And then they went another sixth round. And, you know, so it gave me a lot of reassurance that I trained both of them equally, that I didn't play favoritism. And so for me, I was happy for both of them. But what's your take on it?
I did watch the fight. I did think Travis Thompson won in the fifth round. I know that, I don't know if it was Travis, his management, whoever has kind of questioned out of left field came the sixth round. According to them, they didn't know anything about that. You know, it should have been, you know, discussed, whatever. But I thought Travis won in five rounds. When it went to the sixth extra round, I thought Travis did not win the sixth round. So whatever you want to take from that, Like I said, I haven't been covering them a great deal, so I don't know. Did they know? Do they all know? Do all fighters know if it's a if it's a draw after five that it's going to six? You know, I don't know. I don't know if you can just randomly say, yeah, we're going to add it. Well, I guess you can because they did.
They did that in the very beginning. That was pretty much a common practice. I mean, I remember being at some of those early first BKFC fights, and a sixth round was commonplace. And then they kind of got away from it. So from what I understand from Travis was he was told ahead of time that only a sixth round is possible for the co-main and the main fight, not for the main fights on the main card, the undercard, if you will. And so it was a complete surprise to him. And he admittedly became irate, you know, that there was a sixth round. So, you know, understandably so. I mean, if you don't prepare for that or you don't know that's in the cards, you know, but at the same time, you got to finish what you start no matter what. And you got to, that was the rule set forth. So, you know, they went and did the sixth round.
Right. Well, again, was it the rule that was set from the beginning or was that a rule that was added afterwards? Hey, let's take advantage. It's a great fight. It ended in a majority draw. I know we normally leave it a draw, but let's do another round. I'm not defending either one. Yeah. Do what?
I would say that's probably the case. I bet it was so close, and it's great for fans. Great for the fans. Great for, you know, the sport, I guess, you know, as far as exciting fights that are equally, you know, matched. So, yeah, that's what you need in this kind of combat sport. You need exciting fights.
Right. No, I understand that. But as long as those ground rules are set before the fight. You know, you can't add that after the fight, and after the fight is legally over as a majority draw, they announced the majority draw. It's a draw unless you have already imposed those, you know, stipulations. If it's a draw, we're going to go to another round. Well, that wasn't the case from what I've been told, from what Travis posted. Again, I don't know. Dave Feldman was going to be on last week and got busy and got tied up, and then Bernie said he would come on, you know, today, didn't hear from him. So I don't know. It was a great fight. But like I said, through round five, I thought Travis won. The sixth added on round, I thought Travis lost, which means he lost the fight.
Sure.
Let's talk about the co-main event.
Yeah. Jared Warren versus Josh Dyer.
I would like to know if any of the moronic fans that have said anything and everything about Jared Warren have ever been in a fist fight.
Oh, of course not.
Have they ever been in a gym? Or for that matter, have they ever driven by a gym? For them to say that Jared, you know, didn't want the fight, he found a way out of the fight, that, you know, he's a this, he's a that, that the punch was legal, that first and foremost, let's make one thing clear. He's not the referee.
Sure.
Okay? He's not saying the punch landed after the bell. The referee said that.
Right.
Okay? So, A, he's not trying to get out of anything. The referee said that illegal punch. He claimed they deemed it an illegal punch. Okay? I think I know Jared a little bit. You know, I mean, we're not best friends. I don't miss birthday parties that he's had because I've never been invited to them. But, you know, we're pretty good friends. The guy trains. The guy's a fighter. I don't think any fighter in the first round, in the second round, early in a fight is going to find a way out because he doesn't want to be there. If he didn't want to be there, he wouldn't have been there.
Well, and I'll add to that. I mean, this is a guy that actually stepped aside from his firefighting career to pursue this career of fighting full time, to make this his dream. So, you know, when you have that kind of conviction and that belief in yourself and you have that kind of desire, you're not looking for a way out of a fight, especially when you're a co-main event in your hometown crowd of Lakeland, you know, close enough to Tampa, obviously. And your girlfriend, Crystal, the rugged beauty Pittman, is on the same card and had just won her fight a few moments before you go out and perform. Jared's not looking for a way out. The lump on the head shows clearly that a punch was thrown behind the ear. Apparently there's a Mohawk rule. Have you heard of this rule, Randy?
No.
apparently there's a Mohawk rule that if it lands, if the fist behind the ear can touch one finger to the ear, then it's still legal as long as it falls within the Mohawk zone where, you know, obviously a Mohawk is a stripe down the middle like Chuck Liddell or like eyewear. Where, you know, if it's inside the Mohawk, then it's an illegal strike because it's to the back of the head. And if it's not, then it's still deemed illegal. But I had never heard of that rule or such a rule.
Sounds like you just made that up.
No, I saw it on the internet, and it's got to be true.
Oh, so it's got to be true.
Everything on there is true.
You know, I saw a photo of the big honeycomb massive thing on the back of his head. Again, I'm not even saying whether it is, whether it isn't. I'm not saying whether it was or whether it wasn't. The referee deemed that punch illegal. Okay.
Yep.
I've been very strong in, first of all, they're fighters. You know, am I going to say a fighter's never taken the easy way out? Of course not. But, you know, on a whole, these are fighters. This is what they do for a living. I find it hard to believe that they're going to find a way out, in this case, for a draw. You know, it's not a win. You know, it's so a no contest.
Do you get paid on no contest?
I believe you get paid, but I don't know. You know, you get your show money. Then I guess it would be up to the promotion or whatever if they decide. You know, like in that case, I would imagine no. But, you know, what do I know? You know, like I said, we make up crap as we go along. For fans, you know, to say that he tried to, you're good now. You know, that he tried to backdoor it, that he tried to get out of it, that he was scared, if he was scared, he wouldn't be a fighter. I just hate fans. I want to wear my shirt, people not a big fan. Because think, and I'm sure that most of those people saying that are fans of the opponent. So I get it. It's you being a fanatic, a fan for your favorite fighter. But that just drives me crazy. And are we done that? Should we go to the
shout out? Shout out. Well, yeah, but let's go. Let's go.
No, shout out.
David Mundell. No, I was just saying that Shift MMA, I think they went 6-0. You know, if you count the no contest, Jared Warren. But I mean, as far as Jihad, you know, shout out to Jihad for his team coming to show out. I mean, in their hometown crowd, and went 6-0 on the card, and did in convincing fashion. Like Brandon Allen, you know, Dave Mundell.
Are you walking around? We're losing your
damage,
internet.
You know, from the Lorenzo Hunt. I'm here.
All right. No, you were cutting in and out. You were cutting in and out. You were talking about Dave Mundell, the Mike Richmond. First and foremost, I think both of those guys are class individuals. You know, neither one that I know of. You know, I know that Richmond doesn't talk.
Absolutely.
Rap. I think Mundell is just, you know, he's the redneck country boy, and that's just what he is. Big ups to them both. Mike Richmond, after the fight, acknowledged both Dave Mundell and Lorenzo Hunt, retired. Good for him. Great career. I reached out to him and congratulated him. And you know what? Dave Mundell is the real deal. You know, this sport is a sport for Dave Mundell.
It is indeed. And he's calling out the Mike Perry fight. He wants to, you know, get the big name in the fight in the BKFC, and I think deservingly so. I think he's earned that right.
I mean, I think so as well. You know, it just comes down to now, really, you know, what they have money-wise, you know, who they want to match Mike Perry up, you know, for tickets. I think Dave Mundell, Mike Perry would sell, but, you know, it also makes sense, you know, to ride the gravy train. You know, Mike Perry fights somebody, Dave Mundell fights somebody else, because once those two fight, whoever the one guy that loses, you know, you're now counted down, you know, the bottom of the list. All right. Bottom of the hour. Let's hit a quick break. When we come back, I'm sure we'll talk more about Dave Mundell and Mike Richmond. What's next? Who's next? And what event you and I may be going to next. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink.
Chicago green, talking about red lemonade.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Matt Millen down in Tampa. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up energy drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat. The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. And they have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is NFL Hall of Famer.
No, hey, this is NFL Hall of Famer Tony Dorsett. You're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
Final few moments here, coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza here in St. Pete at the St. Pete Racquet Club. Matthew running around the beaches down there in Brazil. I've already told him and his wife to expect me to tag along on this trip next time they go. So when are we leaving? That's a question for you, Matt.
September for the Lynyrd Skynyrd concert in São Paulo.
Lynyrd Skynyrd in Brazil in September. Okay, well, we'll see Michael probably next week or the week after. We could bounce that off of him. It's been brought to my attention by our crack producer, Steve Linnae, that there's one big problem in Dave Mundell's call-out.
What's that?
I was waiting for you to say, what's that? Thanks for playing along. Mike Perry is not a signed BKFC fighter.
Oh.
Thanks for the 22 seconds.
Yeah. What have you... Internet, or you just don't have a reason to acknowledge Steve actually brought something to the table?
Hear me?
Well, now we can hear you.
Yeah, basically, step up to your computer and everything like that, but
all right,
I'll say it again. Go ahead.
I'm out.
I think I might have used up all the internet down here in Brazil.
It's starting to sound that way. You're only allowed.
Yeah, I think it's as the show progresses, I lose connection.
All right. Well, you need to fight through 6 more minutes.
All right. Well, before I run out of time or before I get disconnected, I do want to bring awareness to Dave Mundell's family. He reported on his Facebook that he lost his little brother, Aiden. That they've got a GoFundMe account set up. They're doing a viewing and showing. So our hearts go out to the whole Mendel family in this difficult time. But just want to make sure I got that out there before my time runs up here in Brazil.
No, for sure. Well, hopefully your time doesn't end in Brazil, because that means funerals are next.
Yeah. Yeah, that's plus, you know, I gotta get back to what I do. You know, it's great to come down here because I always come back re-inspired. You know, that's the best part about traveling for me, is coming back home and then taking innovation, things that I see, things that people do differently. When it comes to either restaurant, you know, whether it's recipes or creativity, or whether it comes to martial arts or just life. So I'm excited to get back home. I'm excited to come back to St. Pete, Tampa, and show you guys what I've learned while I've been gone, and bring out some new creativity for the restaurant, and create some new exciting promotions.
Well, you know, as shocking as this is going to sound, Steve and I are excited for you to return as well, because we're both looking forward to our Motorhead t-shirts.
Well, you used the word, you said the word in plural, and they did not have multiple Motorhead shirts. But I do have one shirt, and I have one album that I'm going to bring home for Steve and Ed to add his collection. It's a Motorhead 1986 album, and it's in Portuguese, so he can sing along and learn how to speak another language.
Well, that's cool. He can have the album. I'll take the T-shirt.
Yeah, that's the way I have it designed. That's what I'm doing.
Okay. So, Steve, since you don't have the headset on. He has a Portuguese Motorhead album for you. Okay.
Can I understand?
He said that he will sing every word.
Yeah, that's good. We're not even sure if he knows English at this point, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But no, it's been an amazing trip down here. It's an amazing country. It's amazing culture. I'm excited to come back. I'm excited to start fight camp for this opponent you supposedly have for me that is blurry in a photo, so I'm not sure if I'm supposed to take that guy serious or not, but
I'm
ready for whatever.
Before you hang up, it was all strategic. We wanted to make sure that you couldn't figure out who it is. Like I said, and I'm not blowing smoke, him, the company he works with, and his friends combined have easily over 10 million followers. Easily.
Okay.
So, like I told him, that's all you care about. You know you're not going to win.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to win. No, there's no, Randy, why would you think I would go into a competition and not win?
Because you're willing to die. You're going to die in this race.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I don't mind dying. Dying with honor, man. Hey, look, dying hinders the after party a little bit. You know, it's not as fun. But I'm, yeah,
hold on, hold on a second. Can I ask you a question? A serious question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
If in fact you have an after party after this fight and you die before you die in the fight, am I required to go to the after party? Do I still need to go?
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to have to pay though, because I'm not going to put you as a plus one. you're not going to have a list. But yeah, you gotta go. Come on. I mean, look, at my funeral, I would hope that you guys celebrate my life, not sad that I died. You know, I want it to be a party. I want it to be
it's a celebration of life.
Fun.
Right. It's a celebration of life.
Celebration.
But again, I'm curious if I don't go to the after party, that you die before the after party, is it over, or is it over once you die and then I don't have to go to the after party?
No, it's eternal. Our friendship is eternal.
Okay. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
if it's eternal,
I'm the only friend you got left.
Party.
I'm the only friend you got left in life and in death, Randy.
In death.
I'm your friend in eternity as well. I'm excited about annoying the hell out of you in the afterworld as well.
Oh, are you going to be down south with me?
Well, apparently it's hot in America. I heard of the heat waves.
100.
People are passing out in Arizona. They're putting people in ice baths in the ER to lower their core body temperature. So, you know, the ice barrel that's in the back of my truck is literally saving lives. So I mean, I don't want to call myself a hero, but I did save a life last week on the streets. And so,
okay.
So that was an experience.
You're not a hero. Wherever you are in Brazil, do you stop at red lights, or like Rio, do you run the red lights so you're not the first car?
Only at night. At night, you don't stop at red lights. So you slow down. You if you don't see lights coming the other direction, then you just keep going. So it's a rolling stop, but yeah, it's not safe to just stop.
I know we haven't touched on it because, and we only have about 90 seconds. UFC this week in London. That's the main reason we didn't have any fighters this week. They will return next Wednesday as they go out to Salt Lake City. I'm looking forward. I'm going out there. I'm going to meet Tanya Bennett, formerly Bennett. I don't know what her last name is now. The widow of Ryan Bennett. First time I'll ever meet her face to face. I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to make a pit stop out at Mission Belts as well as Bucked Up Energy Drink. Any thoughts on the fight in London Saturday? Have you even looked at it? Main event? Okay. Going to take that as a no. That's his easy way out of saying, no, I didn't look at it. No, I don't know anything about it. So with all that said, Matt has already checked out. His internet card has expired. His passport has expired. As long as he doesn't expire, I may still go to the after party. If not, I will not be going. I want to thank everybody who tuned in. The rest of this will be up on our YouTube page probably by tonight. Matt will be back here in studio next week. More live guests from the UFC. More legends like Bob Eubanks possibly next week as well. So until then, thank you everyone for your time. We're going to hit a break when we come back. Drew Dober, who we sat down and talked with a couple weeks ago. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is the Amazing Jonathan. You're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza. Tour de Pizza, visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chris Isaac. You're on Talking Sports with Randy Harris. Many of you don't remember, but Randy Harris was a 3-time welterweight champion of the United States. And here he is, Randy Harris.
All right, we're continuing here at Fan Expo. I don't even know what day it is.
Friday?
Is
Friday.
It?
I think it's Friday.
Oh, is it?
I hope it's Friday.
Here is what just went down. And to me, this is so cool. Drew Dober, how are you?
Wonderful. I'm glad I'm here and hanging out with you guys.
Well, what was really cool is, and as you will find out, we don't talk a whole lot. Longest running MMA UFC show in the country, just so you know. And we know the sport, but we don't talk this early about the sport because I want people to get to know the athletes. You know, there's 50 stations here that can talk about your last fight. And if you're an MMA UFC fan, they watched your last fight. You know what I mean?
Right.
We want to get to know you. And you're like, check this, do that. I mean, you're a radio guy. It's to me, it's like you're ready to broadcast here. How cool is that?
I mean, I'm trying to get myself into that broadcasting business, trying to stay in front of a camera for as long as possible. So, I mean, radio, unfortunately, doesn't have the camera, but talking is
nowadays,
equally as all right.
But unfortunately, nowadays it is, you know, with the YouTube channels and the social media.
Right.
And, you know, back when I started, you're right. You know, I have a face for radio, and it was all cool. That's funny, by the way.
It takes a while.
No, I just gave him the stern look. Absolutely.
I'll roll with it. You know, but now with YouTube and video and, you know, social media, it's definitely blowing up. Talk about the radio stuff that you're planning on doing if you haven't already started.
I mean, so last year I was involved in a movie. I was like an extra in a movie. That kind of just opened my eyes to the possibility of working more media outside of the cage. And so now I work with a local promotion doing commentating. I also do like promotions and promos and trying to learn how to read script and speak. But now I'm out here practicing just being a broadcaster and, you know, sharing my opinions to people that need to hear them.
There you go. What part was, what did you play in the movie?
Oh, I was a SWAT team member. Okay. In I have the Buzz Lightyear look.
Right.
So you throw me in any military outfit, I'll do well.
What was the movie? Or
so it was a I don't know how much I could talk about it, but
it's not out yet.
But it's like a Netflix exclusive, so keep your eyes open.
I was in neither one of you guys have ever heard of this TV show. It's called Sequest. It was back in the day, probably before you were born.
Was that Roy Schneider?
Yes.
No, Roy Schneider.
Yeah, I think he was in it. And my buddy was the director. So we went to we were going to have this extra part. We were going to get thrown off a building and all this crap. And at the last minute, they X'd it. So his brother, who's also a friend of mine, and we're like, follow me. I go, what do you mean, follow me? So the opening scene of Sequest is a Humvee comes down the road, takes a left, goes halfway down, and all these guys get out. It's like a futuristic whatever. So Gary goes, come on, follow me. And we just walked into the scene. We were not supposed to be in the scene. And we are now in the opening scene of Sequest for eternity.
Oh, that's perfect.
As we just walked out there.
But did you work for free?
No, I got paid too.
Okay, good, good. Yeah. If you just wandered on the scene, make sure you get that money too.
But we still got, it was very little, but, you know, we got to keep, and back then you didn't think about it. We got to keep all the Sequest memorabilia and, you know, the whole nine yards.
It's good, though, because you meet so much. We actually kind of, when you speak with fighters, can you hear me?
Yeah.
You hear me? But when you speak with fighters, there's so many that are involved in it right now in their heads. It's all about the title. It's all about their money. It's all about training. But it's so kind of refreshing when people like yourself have the ability to think 10 years ahead and going, when I'm finished doing this, I want to have a nice bank account, hopefully have a belt, you know, on a mantelpiece. But then it's the stuff that comes after it. And it's great when you see so many fighters now that are articulate, that, you know, work well on camera. And I think it's absolutely the way forward, because even during your fight career, to be able to go and do those smaller promotions and learn the commentary tricks and the bits and pieces like that, is that something that you really think after, when fighting's done, is that the move you'd love to move into the media, do that kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I love the camera. I'm halfway decent in front of it. But most of all, I'm just trying to stay in the MMA biz without getting punched in the face.
Sure.
And so that means I got to talk about it.
Yeah.
And so I'm getting the practice in here, and fingers crossed we'll get things bigger and better.
You know, just taking what Jimmy said a little bit further, most don't think past 10 years. Most think this will never end. You know, I'm going to stay 22, 24, 26 forever. And then all of a sudden you're 39 and it's like, I didn't prepare for, you know, after.
Right. And what really helped too is I just had my first child a month ago. And so, man, once you have a baby, it kind of opens your eyes to like, wow, I got to do more than just fighting now.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. Being from Omaha, right?
Yes.
So are you friendly with Anthony Smith?
Anthony Smith, the Ellenbergers. Because, yeah, I know all the guys.
Because Anthony's obviously, he's like a poster child, probably along with someone like Bisping, for the kind of move, Paul Felder as well, the move. But Anthony being, a current fighter and still fighting at the highest level, but he's forever on ESPN. He's doing his podcast. He's always doing his shows. It's an amazing kind of thing to get to. But anyway, listen, the question I wanted to ask you actually was, how does someone from where you come from start? Because how do you start in this business? Because let's say if you get brought up in New York or you get brought up in LA, it's maybe a lot easier. But when you get brought up in Nebraska, was it a difficult thing to start?
Not in Nebraska. I mean, I feel like on the coast, like, you got so much to do that it's like you got to find fighting.
Right, okay.
Where in Nebraska, if you can't catch a ball, you fight. And, man, Nebraska or Omaha in particular, we've had like over 20 guys make it to the UFC level.
Yeah.
Omaha police officer Steve Jenham won UFC 3. I mean, we have like the best pound-for-pound boxer in the world currently. Like, there's something in the water in Omaha, yeah. And it ain't hard to find.
The other thing that they have in Omaha is you can go up on some bridge.
The pedestrian bridge?
And you can be in two states at the same time and doing a push-up. That's excitement in Omaha.
Oh, there we go.
That's it. That's like our main course right there.
Yeah. It's a long walk to do it. What's next for you fight-wise?
Fight-wise, I let the UFC know that I'm available. I'm learning the schedule with the new baby, but we're ready to go for September. So now we're just waiting on the who, when, and where.
I respect how you said that because a lot of fighters said, I have a new baby. I'm going to fight camp.
Yeah, no. I was even offered a fight, and I was like, I don't know if we can even train for anything. So I have to ask permission to go to the gym. I'm like neck deep in diapers and bottles. So it's like it's a brand new world, and yeah, we're going to see how we can get it done when we get a fight scheduled.
Your first?
My first.
It's your first.
So it's I have all the anxiety, and like I'm still learning. The second child, like you can just drop and you don't care. But this first one, like we got to be in it.
I'm sure you've been told all this stuff, but what's about to happen in your life is awesome. It's absolutely incredible. You know, now I have a granddaughter as well, so it's to a whole new level. But, you know, when their first step, the first time they're in the swimming pool, it's like nothing you can ever even plan for.
I know. I'm excited. And also, I'm very disappointed that I'm here and I might miss her first whatever.
Yeah.
But no, I just try to cherish all these moments because, you know, I'm being told that next thing you know, they're 30. So we gotta take advantage of each moment you have her. And so that's it. I'm just enjoying.
How would you feel this being a father? I don't know, new father, so this is a long way off. But when, you know, is it your daughter, your son?
Daughter.
Daughter. So
yes.
So when your daughter's old enough to kind of really understand what dad does for a living, would you be happy for her to watch and embrace it? Or would you rather keep her away from it? Because we get kind of conflicting kind of stories from different fighters kind of going, listen, I fight so you don't have to fight. You know, that kind of idea. And others that go, nah, you listen, life is hard. And you must see, you know, the good and the bad side of it. You know, how would you approach that with your
I think I'm a strong middle to where I wouldn't mind if she does. I'd prefer she doesn't, but I'm going to show her so much other cooler stuff that hopefully draws her away from it. But she will learn jiu-jitsu because it is a rough world out there and she needs to know how to choke a dude out.
Yeah.
When you say other stuff, are you talking like darts?
I mean,
golf,
instruments, there's ball sports that she can get into, like,
things that don't hurt.
There's such thing as school. I heard education is good.
I was going to make a political joke, but I won't. I'll stay down.
So, I mean, now I need to hear it.
Well, no, just, you know, now's a good time to go to college, you know, because you don't have to pay it back, you know.
So listen, this is thrown off. So this weekend. Any of those, you know, main card fights, maybe even some in the prelims that are really kind of like, you know, jump off the page to you that you think I'm really eager to watch that one.
I'm eager to watch the Robert Whittaker and I forgot how to pronounce the other guy.
Duplessis.
I'm glad you guys can do it. I would have butchered it.
Yeah, I practiced it for weeks.
I'm so like I need to practice it, but I wasn't ready for this question. But that is the fight, like, because that's the number one contender in the middleweight division. That's the next in line to fight Israel Adesanya. So like that's the fight I'm excited about.
And it's almost a shame. I don't root against fighters. You know, I never do, whether I like them or not, or it's immaterial. But everybody wants to see Dricus fight Israel.
Yeah.
You know, this fight.
Well, because it's a fresh face,
right,
I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, nothing against Rob. Rob's amazing, but we've seen it.
I know, but he needs to prove that he's, like, capable, right? Because I'm not trying to see a fresh face just get beat up by a stylebender, you know?
Sure.
So, like, I want to see, like, fantastic fights, and so he's got to make a proof.
The one fight I'm looking forward to is Robbie Lawler for this reason. Not because it's his last fight, because I'm very vocal on, I never want a fighter to say this is my last fight. Because do you go to the gym as much?
Yeah.
But Robbie Lawler probably went to the gym more this time, knowing, because that's Robbie.
Right.
I've known Robbie since day one. And Nico Price, just doesn't care either.
Right.
He's
right.
going to go in. And so that's one that has the potential to really
be. It's going to be a brawl. Like, we know every time Robbie Lawler steps in the octagon, like, that's the fight we're going to get. And it's no different that it because of it's last. Actually, it might even be better because it's last. He's coming out there and just he's going to let it all on the line. And Nico Price is he's also going to step in the middle as well.
Good stuff.
So listen, behind us, there is a lot of marketing and there's some radio stations here covering Power Slap.
Okay.
Have you seen? Well, because we're
I've seen it.
We're going for the very first time tonight.
Oh, really?
You know, it's tonight at the Apex.
I've heard.
Have you seen it? And what's your thoughts?
All right. This is going to be a long answer, right? So I have seen it. I watched the entire season that they did. And what a shit show. Like, oh, my God. Like, I told myself I would never do bare knuckle boxing. And then I saw Power Slap. Right. And I went, all right, well, I will do bare knuckle boxing over, like, there's, like, I don't know, man. Like, they either going to start paying these guys to give up their brain cells or just give it up altogether.
Just kind of curious. You know, it's so funny when you spend, you know, your youth in on a wrestling mat or in a dojo and you work for years to get to the pinnacle of fighting. And then this new thing comes along. And I've never seen it, so I can't really say. We had a few of the champions on earlier. We were sort of chatting away about it. I'm very curious to see what it's all about. But I'm always curious to see it like a professional elite fighter's view on it.
Before you answer any more, just remember. Well, you probably don't remember. But we went through this with the UFC at UFC 1.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing. And people, you know, I was with Ken Shamrock. I was with Royce Gracie. And they said basically the same thing. About that, like, really? All right, I'll do it. I'm a fighter.
Right, but there was still technique involved.
Sure.
And as much as they want to say that they're like training, I'm like, what are you doing, really? Like,
how do you train
just
for that?
Just chewing bubble gum? Like, what are you like? I don't know how you can get better at the sport other than just winning the coin toss.
Well, that's very important.
I know. You know, they're just high level gamblers.
Yes. So, I wonder if you train how to fall. You know, from when you get slapped, you have to...
No, like, yeah, I don't know. There's no way. You just hope the guy behind you catches
right.
you. Which, hold on, did you know that Dana White wanted it that you do not catch the guy falling?
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.